Good morning. As you are probably aware, Operation Christmas Child is in full swing now, and Dedication Sunday is going to be November 5th. But we're also working on being a central drop-off location for 7 counties this year, and this is new to all of us. We're learning together, but in your pewbacks, there are some green and red forms. If you want to help during that week of the drop-off location, I kind of want to get an idea of who wants to do what. And there are jobs listed and a brief description of those. And these are due October 15th. They're red and green. This orange one is ministry enlistment. It's due today. So red and green, Christmas colors for Operation Christmas Child. And I hope to have a brief training session maybe Sunday afternoon of November 5th. But I'm sure it's just going to be a lot of on-the-job training because this is new to all of us. And I want you to keep in mind that no matter what area you might volunteer in, even if you're loading cartons or loading cartons on the truck, you may have opportunity to pray with or for someone. And that's really the whole purpose, is to interact with people, share the love of Christ, and share the gospel if that opportunity comes up. And just continue to bathe this ministry in prayer. God does amazing things around the world through this ministry. And I want you to know this Operation Christmas Child ministry team in this church is very excited. But we do need your prayers. And thank you so much for your support.
Good morning. Was coming on behalf of the Children's Ministry Committee. And for Trunk or Treat this year, we talked a lot about bringing it in, kind of making it a theme based. So Bible characters, Bible stories is what we had talked about. There's a sign-up sheet in the Welcome Center, and we wrote as many ideas down as we could about, you know, a story that you could actually maybe have a decorate your trunk for, or a game that might go with that. And so there, we came up with quite a long list, and I'm sure there are many, many others. So if you're struggling with an idea to kind of be in a Bible character or Bible story theme, we also will need donations of candy. And we didn't talk about, I'm assuming you turn that into church office or probably at the Welcome Center as well. This year, we're also suggesting that we don't only just give out candy, but that we give a little, not just that piece of candy, but a little piece of the Word of God with our candy. And so Laura and I did this last year. We handed out a little, Laura took care of all of that. We handed out the Bible verse that we decorated for and had the game for, and the verse went with it and had it on just a little card that was printed and cut apart. It could even be a slip of paper, and if you wanted to attach it to the candy, go for it, but that's not 100% necessary. But just, we want to pass along, you never know who that verse might be, just that might be meant for that person that evening. That's something they needed to hear, or that child needed to hear, to get them in the Word. And so that was our other suggestion. Our plan is to assess what costumes that we have here, if anybody would like to utilize the costumes. As of yet, we haven't gotten in there and dug through and found all those costumes yet. But we hope you'll participate. We just want to send the message out to our community that we care and we want to share the gospel. So Bible story characters, October 31st, 5:30 to 7. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to see you all today. And thank you for the many prayers. The Lord is healing up from my surgery. And I'm grateful for all the encouragements. Some even brought food. Hallelujah. And it was a marvelous time of experiencing the love of God. A few more announcements. Read your bulletin for one. Ministry teams and committee brochures are due today. If you haven't signed up, please do it today. This is crucial as we're working together as a church, the different committees, the different ministry teams We need your help because you are the church. So be a part of that. Sunday school teachers and class secretaries, there is a meeting today at 4:30 in Fellowship Hall. The stress is really upon those who do the recording, those who fill in the material for the Sunday school class. And it might be the teacher does that in your room. But we really need somebody that represents the recording secretaries for this meeting, because there's some crucial information that Miss Cindy would like to share and to disseminate so that we're able to function properly in the church office as we get those records together. Thank you very much for your attention to that. Read your bulletin again for details. There's a lot going on. And our prayer this morning, Brother Garrett Ritter will come and lead us in our prayer this morning.
Thank you. I want to thank all of you that are working on these projects, that are these ministry opportunities. It's been neat to me to see, as we've had quite a few new members join recently, and been meaningful, as Brother Roberts introduced them as prospective new members, to join in service here. And to me, that even that serves as a good reminder that that's what we're here for. We're here to serve, not to be served. And so I hope that everybody will find their place in these different ministries that are taking place, and that you'll get plugged in and not miss out on the blessing of serving others. If you will, bow your heads with me and we'll pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the healing work you're doing in Brother Robert after his surgery, and I thank you for the healing work that you're doing in this community after the display of your mighty power this week, Lord. I thank you that so many have been protected, and I thank you for the many that have rolled out to be your hands and your feet and to serve and to help others, Lord, and I pray your blessings upon them for that. Lord, be with us as we worship together today. Help our hearts to be open. Help our focus to be on you, and be with Brother Robert as he brings a message today. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, well, Jesus Christ is our living hope. Let's stand as we sing Living Hope.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain is written. Jesus. And came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe.
595 in the light, and if you're using your hymnal, we'll be doing the first, third, and fourth verses.
Heavenly Father, we pray humbly before you this morning, thanking you, rejoicing even, that we can be in your house. Thank you, all that have come in, dear God, please, we pray. Let nothing distract us from worshiping you, and to you be the glory and honor forever. We do pray, Father, that your Spirit engulf each of us. Lord, draw the lost to yourself, save lost souls. We love you, Lord. We beg forgiveness of our sins against you. We do lift up to you Brother Robert, Brother Houston, Brother R.C. Martin, even as he brings a message to the Southbrook residents this afternoon. Lord, we continue our worship as we receive these tithes and offerings. Take them, Father, and multiply them. Use them for your ongoing glory, all to your honor. In Jesus Christ's name we ask and pray. Amen.
is good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like the flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be.
I am very aware each Sunday when we walk into this place that you'll come with certain expectations. Obviously, order of service and how things will go. You know, there'll be some announcements and singing and praying and offering time, then a message, and then we close out and then we're gone. And as we come in, I also know this, each of us come with some baggage. We pray, and I have done this before, Father, help me to focus my attention completely upon you, but life happens. Stuff that's happened this past week, stuff that's happened in our lives over the previous weeks even, life experiences are going to affect your perspective and your comprehension of what's going on here. And ideally, we should come into this sanctuary every single Sunday with blinders on, focusing completely upon the glory and the wonder of our great God. The Holy Spirit will accompany us to and be present in this place and help us as we see Him moving in our midst, and His grace and mercy is provided in a variety of ways. But the reality is there will be hindrances. That does not mean we don't strive to concentrate and focus upon Him. But I think the thing we ought to think about also is that God does not expect us to be robotic in our worship of Him. He wants us to come as we are. He wants us to come and with the lives that He has given us and with the experiences that we have had and carried with us, to bring them with us so that He can indeed be the God who ministers to those needs. And so while we want to focus upon looking to Him and His holiness and righteousness and experience His grace being poured out into our lives, we also face the reality that we come with life. And this past week, some have had real life hit you. We've had some in our congregation, their properties have been damaged by a storm that came through. There's some of you who've been wrestling perhaps at your job or in school with persons or with subject matter, or maybe you're just having a rough time in your marriage. Maybe life has just thrown you big curves and you're just having a difficult time. You can't check that at the door. And I'm not convinced that God expects you to do that. I think God wants you to come, and he wants you to bring your life so that he can impact that life. And we should listen to him for the solution to it. It's wonderful for us to come together and bounce things off of one another and to share our difficulties. Sometimes we find that there's, through that networking, there's somebody that can help us with an issue. There's somebody that will promise to pray for us through the next week and through the next month and through the next year. It's marvelous to have that family of faith. But together, we focus upon the fact that we have a God who cares and is bigger and able to do more than we can ever imagine or think. And so worship is a unique experience. And worship is marvelous, that we come together to encourage one another, that we love on one another, that we spur one another on. The Bible says to love and to good deeds. Discover who's struggling. Learn that there are others who are in the same boat, perhaps, as you. And learn of ways to pray and minister to one another. Those are valuable, valuable things. But as we do that, we come together, arms locked, to look to our Creator and our Redeemer and the one who finishes our faith. That should focus us upon leaning into him together, leaning into the Lord, coming near. The scripture puts it that way. Come near to me, that I'm near to you. We should come with a great confidence and a great trust that God cares and he wants to minister to us. And then when we leave this place and we get out into the world and we're not next to next, shoulder to shoulder with another believer, what do we do? I hope this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture, it will give us a little bit of direction, hopefully some help in that. And then 2 weeks ago, I preached about us being ministers of reconciliation. How then will my life, as I'm out there experiencing it, even in the rough times, how will my life and my faith in that life impact others? What is the watching world going to see in my faith? So I want us to think about those things as we look at this passage this morning out of the Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 34. I've simply entitled it Praying and Singing. There's much more to it, but we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. So stand with me as we read verse 25 through 34 this morning out of Acts chapter 16. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and he saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, we're all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he had brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into his house, set food before them, and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we desire to come and receive instruction. And as we have already noted, we come with some stuff. Lord God, we've some in this place have experienced crisis and trauma and difficulty this week. Others have experienced joy. Some have been able to help others and have experienced great blessing from you as a result. But Father, we all come with something. And help us now, Father, to hear you, to speak to our hearts in the midst of all the activity and the chaos that our life is involved in. Father, speak to us. Help us to receive instruction that will encourage and strengthen our faith, even in times of difficulty, especially before a watching world, so that, Father God, the impact of your reality, your truth, your power, your life might rub off on others around us. Lord God, help us to be faithful as our Christ was faithful, even unto death, the death of the cross. We pray these things to your glory in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So the text may be familiar to you. It comes out of a time in early church history where the Apostle Paul had been planting Gentile churches, and he was following up on some of those he'd planted and even planting more. And it seemed like everywhere that the Apostle Paul went, he stirred up controversy. It was not just because it was him, but because he was faithful in declaring the Word of God. Listen, the Word of God will stir up controversy, especially as the world continues to grow in wickedness and depravity and separating itself from God. The Word of God will become a more contentious reality in our experience. Jesus himself, while instructing his disciples for ministry back in Matthew chapter 10, as he was instructing them, he made this declaration to them in verses 16 to 23. He said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you're going to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you're to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks to you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes." In that passage, Christ Jesus was preparing his disciples. And listen, this was 2,000 years ago, preparing them as they go and they share the gospel. They're going to find opposition. They're going to find difficulties. But they are pressed to go and continue to be faithful in that task that he was calling them to, regardless of the difficulties. And even when they were to be chased out of a town, they were to go to the next, and they were to be faithful to the task Christ had called them to. Well, this was not fun. I remember when I was not a pastor, and I looked at the life of our pastor and in our church and the youth pastor, I thought, man, what fun they must be having. And boy, have I learned. It's not that way. When you are faithful to teach the truth, you're going to find people come against you, and that's going to bring circumstances that are difficult. What do you do in those circumstances? Well, Paul and Silas had been ministering to the saints in Philippi. This is kind of the background on our text. And on their way to prayer, and this is back in verse 12, we find that a young girl had been following them around. The text says she had a spirit of divination. The Greek literal reflection of that is she had a python spirit. That's kind of a reflection, a reference to mythology. She had a python spirit. It was an evil spirit. And even though what she was saying might have sounded like, well, that sounds okay, that sounds right, these are men who representing the one holy God, it was not done with the right spirit. And it became annoying to the Apostle Paul, and so he cast that spirit out of this woman, and all of those merchants who had made profit off of this young girl became angry and gathered together in protest, and they brought Paul and Silas to the magistrates of the city, to the leaders, and they had them chastised and beaten and then cast into the deepest place in the prison. Not just in the outskirts where they'd be shut up behind some bars, but that they would be put down in the dungeon area where there were things of torture. They were put in stocks. They weren't just chained to a wall or to a post that was secured down in the ground. They were also put in stocks where their hands and feet would be secured in a certain position that was anything but comfortable. And if you've been in a cast or anything where you've been held in one position for a long period of time, you know that that is uncomfortable and can create great discomfort. So Paul and Silas in the middle of the night are singing and praying. Why? Because they can't sleep. Okay, they're very uncomfortable. They're in the deepest, darkest dungeon. It's probably not smelling very good down there. It's nasty. And yet they're in some circumstances. They can't get comfortable to go to sleep. Has anybody in this place ever had a night where you can't sleep? Yeah, I have. I've woken up in the middle of the night with something on my heart and my mind, perhaps ministry or just in life, and just laid there and struggled all night long, wrestled with something. I have had times where I've been able to pray and say, Lord, allow me sleep, and he's put me right to sleep. But there are many times I've wrestled with things in the middle of the night. And oftentimes I've found that when I pray, the Lord brings a good message to my heart, and I need to get up and write notes, and I find myself doing that. So there's some good things that can happen in the middle of the night when you're wrestling with the Lord. But here Paul and Silas had no reprieve in that way. They were in a situation where the circumstances had come against them. They'd been persecuted and unjustly, and they had been put in this prison and put in these stocks in this uncomfortable position where they were immobilized. And so they prayed and they sang to God. It's not a bad thing to do in the middle of the night. And the question I have here, and I ask you this because I've asked myself this, is that the first thing that I do when I have difficult circumstances, or is it a last resort? When my circumstances are difficult, do I run and go tell somebody? Do I tattle? Do I try to find support for that? Or do I go to the Lord in prayer? What do I do when circumstances are harsh and difficult, and I've been persecuted heavily? Do I find somebody that will identify with me and walk with me and agree with me, or do I seek out the Lord first? We have put up on our church sign before that prayer should be the first response and not the last resort. You know, sometimes that's what happens. Prayer becomes the last, oh, well, I guess I'll pray about it. It's come to that, has it? When it really should be the first thing that believers do, because we have access to a holy God. He has saved us. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit, given us the Spirit who helps us to pray, even things we don't understand. Why would we not pray first? Because it's in our DNA to seek out help first. I think about an Old Testament passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'll not turn there, but you may want to write that down for later. It was a time when Judah, led by King Jehoshaphat, was under threat of a coalition of nations, Moab, sons of Ammon, and Edom. And that was identified to by the text as a great multitude. Some believe that was more than a million-man army that came against King Jehoshaphat and Judah. The king prayed, and he received instruction from the Lord through prophet. And Israel readied themselves for battle. And the instruction from the Lord was, take the singers and the priests and put them on the front lines and go face the enemy. And the text tells us that when they began singing and praising, then the Lord set ambushes against the enemies among the enemy, and the enemy destroyed one another. Now we say, well, that's just crazy. That's an Old Testament miracle. That will never happen in our time. Well, I wonder if it's because God's people haven't taken God serious enough to rely upon him first. That in the midst of our troubles, we call upon him and we sing praises even before he's lifted his hand to help us. And I identify and I agree that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I can imagine or think. And so I'm going to treat it like that, and I'm going to pray to him in that way. And I'm going to sing a praise song that tells me of his goodness and reminds me of how faithful he is. I have a list of praise songs. I brought a hymnal up here this morning. I love Great Is Thy Faithfulness, because that song reminds me in my own spirit that God never fails. No matter what the circumstances are, he doesn't change. There's no shadow of turning with him. He stays the course, and he ministers to his people. And his faithfulness is such that every morning there are new mercies that he presents before me, regardless of myself. God's faithful. There's another hymn, I Know Whom I Believed. And that one says, I know not how God does these marvelous, wonderful things around me, but I do know who I believe in. I may not understand my circumstances or my trouble, but I can sing that song and know God is going to take care of it regardless, because I'm a child he loves. He works out all things for good to those who love him and are his called. And so I'm going to trust him with this difficult situation. He's either going to bring me through that or he's going to let me die for a reason. And I'm going to trust him with that. Many more hymns, Amazing Grace, we sang that this morning. I remember over and over again, sometimes when I'm in a difficult situation, I just sing that song and I remember that God saved me and I didn't deserve it, but he still provides and protects for me. And that one verse that we sang there, his grace taught my heart to fear, and then by that grace, he relieved my fears. What an amazing grace. The Lord's promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my strength and portion be, my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. I have nothing to fear because he who is in me is greater than he who's in the world. These songs remind me of Bible scripture truths that help me to deal with. You know, the scripture tells us, Ephesians chapter 5, as you're going through difficulty, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. What do? We often go to some kind of substitute, but God says, go to the Spirit and lean upon him. And as you do that, begin singing songs and spiritual songs and hymns to one another. Sing them to yourself to wake up your soul, to acknowledge this God who is able to get you through the difficult places, if not out of it. You know what God's word to his people was in the Old Testament? It rings true in the New. God says, I will be with you through the deep waters. I will be with you through the fire. And we'll either come out on the other end or I'll bring you to myself. That's a win-win for a believer. Those three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Lord, we're going to follow you. This is a difficult situation. We're caught between a rock and a hard place. And if we don't bow to this king, he's going to throw us in a furnace. But Lord, you prompted our hearts to say, no matter what happens here, king, we won't bow to you. We're going to trust God. And even if he doesn't deliver us out of this fire, we're still going to trust him. And God delivered him. Will you always be delivered out of the fire? Probably not. But he's given the promise. Ultimately, you will be. That's the hope we have. And we should have that kind of song in our heart. I imagine that Paul and Silas were remembering psalms, that God was the refuge. He was the strength of their heart. He was the high place in life. He was the Holy One. He's the Creator. None can come against him. He will ultimately defeat the enemy. And they were singing praises to their God, even as they were stuck in stocks in a prison, cold cell, and in great discomfort, singing and praying, calling upon God to help us. The Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul, one of those says, pray without ceasing. Make your lifestyle one that every breath as you're moving through your day is to talk to God and to listen to him as he's responding to you in your prayer. I have often made conversation with God a natural thing. If you've ever watched me walk home from the office to go to across the street to the Parsonage to eat lunch, or at the end of the day, I'm talking, and you're going to say, look at the crazy man. It's like I'm standing there trying to wave bees off maybe, but I'm just talking, and I'm talking to the Lord. I've found it's become not just a habit, but an experience to pray. Good times and bad, we call upon the Lord. We entrust our matter to him. He's the great deliverer. You can't lose as his child on that situation. He loves you and he's going to do what's best for you in and out of every situation. I often wonder if we believers would see more spiritual successes in our life if we followed that pattern of those Old Testament believers who began singing praises before they went toward the enemy. How often might we see God bring great spiritual success and encouragement to our own heart as a result of that? You know, Jesus told his disciples early on, Sermon on the Mount, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. I think we're really busy sometimes seeking the world, seeking stuff, seeking things, relationships, rather than seeking his kingdom. And if we would just put him in the priority place, even in times of difficulty, we might see the provision a little more clearly. Look, I have no doubt there are some times when I have not prayed to the Lord, and then I've turned and looked back and gone, wow, look at how God provided there. And shame on me for not being of a mindset and a perspective where I was expecting that. I wonder if any of you have been there. Maybe it's just me. But we find this couple of men who have been given an assignment by the Lord God to go and to minister. And sometimes in very dangerous places, much like law enforcement, they would go, they didn't know if they were going to come home that night to their tent or to the home that was they were allowed to stay in for the time. They just didn't know because people were volatile. Well, listen, we're moving into that situation. But they trusted the Lord. And when they were in a difficult situation, they prayed. The first intended lesson here. What if I prayed and praised the Lord when I came across trouble? Might I experience God displaying his power in response to my weakness as I surrendered him in everything? And at the least, I might discover spiritual strength for the conflict rather than entering into it in my flesh and in my weakness. The Apostle Paul said, I boast about my weakness because it is in my weakest moments that the power of God's put on display in my life. Should I not pray and trust the Lord in every moment of my life with that kind of attitude? The Apostle Paul, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And now the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And to live as Christ, to die as gain. What an attitude. That's why he could pray in the midst of his difficulty. He knew his God. He knew God's faithful. He knew no matter what his situation was, if it was to be hard, it would just be temporary compared to eternity. Let me trust the Lord and let me call upon him in prayer. I want to be attuned now so I can see how he works this whole thing out. And I'm going to sing praises while I'm doing that to remind me of his faithfulness. Perhaps the next lesson that we could grasp is that the praying and the singing apparently resulted in a deliverance. Now, initially, we would presume that the deliverance was that of Paul and Silas. But the text reveals an earthquake took place, the walls were shaken, the chains came off, the doors flew open, and the prisoners were able to run off. But the text also tells us that when the jailer woke up, he freaked out. He thought all the prisoners, he saw everything there, and he said, oh my gosh, they're all gone. And he attempted to do himself in. And the reason was because his authorities, in those days, the authorities would torture those who allowed prisoners to escape. He'd rather just go ahead and end his life than go through all that. But Paul saw that and cried out and said, no, don't harm yourself, we're all here. And the jailer called for light, and he came in and he looked, and sure enough, all the prisoners were in place. No one had escaped. What a miracle. The gates had been open. You know what his first thing was? Y'all stay in there. I'm going to get these gates locked back up. No, he said, oh man, what can I do to be saved? What can I do to know the God you've been singing about and praying to? Now, he fell asleep. We know the text tells us he was awakened by all of this, but perhaps he was lulled to sleep by hearing their voices, even in their agony and in their difficulty, singing praises to God and praying to him and entrusting themselves to him, and it just soothed him into a sleep. Something about the attitude and the actions of Paul and Silas and their words impacted him such that he would acknowledge that God had just done something powerful here, and I need to trust this God. The Apostle Paul's response to him was, believe. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household, and you'll be saved. I think it's hilarious at what happened in this situation. This is a jailer. He was about to kill himself for fear that if those prisoners got out, he would be held to an account and be tortured for that. But the scripture says, he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and his household, and he brought them into his house. Was his house in the jail? He took them to his house, and he gave them food, and he bandaged up their wounds, and he ministered to them. And then they came back to the jail. Because the next morning the magistrates came and they said, ah, y'all can go. So it wasn't Paul and Silas that got set free. Huh? It was the jailer and his family that got set free. Folks praying and singing, we do it in here. And I pray that those who are in this place do not know Jesus Christ. You hear the joy and the reality of a relationship with the living God coming through our expression of singing and our time of prayer before our God. I hope that impacts you. I hope the Spirit of God can move in your heart in such a way as to stir you to say, you know what, I need a God like that, and I need to yield myself to Him. The singing and the praying that we do is not just for our benefit. And especially when we get outside these walls, listen, folks, you go to a different world outside these walls. You go to a world where people don't know the Lord. You go to a world where people are against the Lord. But what if they were to hear someone who is so saved and so in touch with the Lord that the response to difficulty would be to pray and to sing, even publicly? Might their response be like that of the jailer? His life would be like, what's wrong with you people? You're going through this and yet you're calling on God. What do I need to do to be saved? 2 weeks ago, as I was able to preach from this pulpit, I told you about this ministry of reconciliation that the Lord gave to us, this message of hope to a dying world that delivered us from death to bring us into life. There are so many out there, even in Little Edna, Texas, that need that hope, and they need it from us. And perhaps they might be impacted by a soul that will sing and pray. Sing praises to our God, even in the midst of difficulty. Now, I want you to note something. As Paul gave the solution, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household. Verse 32 says, and they spoke the word of the Lord to them together with all who were in his house. The gospel's this. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. No one is righteous, not even one. And the wages of sin is death. So death in that respect means separation from God forever. You might not die physically right away, but you are dead spiritually and you will be dead physically one day forever if you do not trust Christ Jesus as your Lord. It's a separation from the goodness and the grace of God for all eternity. To suffer punishment for the due that comes to you from your sinful life that you did not yield to Him. But the scripture gives us clear, says the wages of sin is death, but it doesn't stop there. It says, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. That's where the hope comes in. That while I'm a sinner and the wages of my sin require death, the gift that God has presented is Christ Jesus, who came down from heaven, wrapped himself in sinless flesh, and offered himself up on a cross as a sin sacrifice in the place of all who would believe in his sacrifice. And then who would believe that he was raised from the dead. That's why Romans 10:9 would say, confess the Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. Which Lord? Jesus Christ, the only one who came down and died for our sin. If you've never trusted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would tell you that's the word that Paul spoke to this jailer and his family. It's the reality that we need hope. And the hope comes through Christ Jesus. The Christ Jesus that we were singing to and praying to and praising even while we suffer difficulty. Because we know He's a great deliverer. And no matter what happens in this life, He is the one who has my life in His hand. Do you have that kind of confidence and joy and boldness? You know what? Most of us don't unless we have the Holy Spirit stirred up inside of us. The Holy Spirit brings the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and meekness and self-control. It provides all that you and I need to live out what God has brought into our lives through Christ Jesus, by grace through faith in His work. What we see here is that second lesson is that deliverance comes when we're faithful to pray and sing, but not necessarily to us. Listen, our deliverance is secured in Christ. The spiritual deliverance is the priority. That's the first one you should be concerned with. Physical deliverances from the other issues of life, from circumstances, they may or may not be deliverances. The Apostle Paul and Silas, they ended up back in prison, but they were set free. But I think it's important for us to know the real deliverance came to those who were saved. And through your faithfulness to trust God and to pray and to sing, even in times of difficulty in this world, may impact life to trust Christ so that they are delivered. Singing and praising, praying, these sound like such simple, little generic things that believers do. They really should be the priority of our lives when we're out there in the world. Exercising kindness and goodness and humility and trusting God, a faithfulness to Him, an integrity that relies upon God's righteous standard. We could get real boring with all the things we ought to be. But to sing and to pray faithfully, even in public, you never know who it's going to impact and what kind of deliverance they may experience as a result of that. I'm going to shut it down here. I'm going to look at a couple of these songs. I just want you to know. Amazing Grace, I mentioned that one. I Know Whom I Believed, I have another one marked here. Be Thou My Vision. But even with all of those, there is a list even of contemporary songs. I'm Crucified with Christ. I don't know if many of you remember the hippie back in the 70s, Keith Green. He made popular the song, There is a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till your work on earth is done. What a powerful, little bitty song, powerful, to remind us what God has done to gift us. Amazing Love by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, favorite song of all. I'd love to sing that song before you. There are many songs, perhaps dear to your heart. You ought to be singing those. And you're out there working, and you smash a finger. Instead of saying what you're thinking, call on the Spirit and let the Lord bring a song to your heart. Praise the Lord. Pray in that moment, Lord God, heal this stupid finger. And thank you, Father, for giving me a finger to smash. Attitude. You never know what coworker is going to hear. And like I told you a couple of weeks ago, the gentleman I worked with for some 5 years over here, I didn't know I was impacting his life. I was hoping to. You never know. Sing. Pray. God has done something in your life as a believer. Express it. It's what we're made for. Otherwise, he'd just bring us right into glory after our salvation experience. And he has not done that. We have work that we're to do. Listen, if there's someone here this morning you've never trusted Christ, I presented the gospel to you just a few moments ago. The desire of this pastor's heart is that believers who belong to him, have joined this church or not joined this church, be equipped every time they walk in this place. That they come to know more about the Lord and themselves when they leave than they did when they came in. I'm not the greatest pastor. I don't speak eloquently. I may not be faithful in every aspect of it, but I can tell you the Lord is using those who are faithful to Him. And this pastor wants you to be fed truth so that you might live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel to which you've been called. And for those who don't know Christ, that you would come to know Christ, because he's your only hope. He's your living hope. Everything else is rotten. It's dross. It's junk. Christ Jesus is the treasure. I pray you would come to know him. And then when you do, that you could be glad to sing about him and pray to him, because he's our groomsman. He's our husband, our maker. And one day we're going to be united to him in glory. Until then, we have the great privilege and honor to serve him, even through difficult times. Let's pray that we'll be committed to being a light for him in this dark world. Father, this morning, we thank you for the privilege to be able to sing, to pray, to have a time to give of the blessings you poured out in our lives. We thank you, Father, for the message that you brought to us. We thank you for truth. We thank you for your salvation, the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the way that you move in our midst. You give us understanding. You direct us. And thank you, Father, that you've given us songs to sing, and that you've given us a Lord who will hear when we pray. Father, I pray that we'll be faithful to commit to you in the days you've given us on this earth, to lift you up and exalt you every moment, and Father God, to carry you wherever you take us. You're worthy of that kind of response from your people. So Father, move in our midst this morning. Even if where we sit, Father, we might recommit ourselves, do that. Father, if so, move us not, move us to the altar, move us to pray with the pastor, that we might be invigorated this week to exalt you. Thank you for the great honor and privilege it is to be your children, and then, Father, to be able to speak of you to others. In Jesus' name, to your glory, we pray. Amen. Let us stand and let us respond as part of our worship this morning. Brother Houston will lead us.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy.
Father and our God, we thank you again for the privilege to be in your house today, to worship you, to be among your saints, and now, Lord, to depart from this place filled with your Spirit so that we might be about the work you've called us to. Lord God, we love you and thank you for every provision, your protection over us, the work that you give us to do, that we might point to you through it. And we pray these things as we leave this place. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. God bless. Come back tonight. I will be walking through a chapter in the Old Testament that I find challenging and interesting, but I encourage you to come. God bless.
Amen. Our closing song will be the chorus from Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.